Hello and welcome to District Connect, a podcast by iHub where we cover a wide range of multidisciplinary topics converging at the intersection of technology and innovation in the African continent. Join us as we chat with founders, innovators, experts, thought leaders, and industry players for some of their key insights and personal experiences in innovation in the startup ecosystem across Africa. So today we have the pleasure of sitting down with Kiko Moore, CEO and co-founder at Angaza Elimu, an edtech startup, but he'll tell us a bit more about who he is and what they do. And we hope you enjoy this fruitful discussion. Welcome to the show, Kiko.
Thank you so much, William, for this welcoming me to the podcast. So my name is Kiko Moore. I'm the CEO and founder at Angaza Elimu, an education technology company based out of Nairobi, Kenya, with the focus of empowering African youth through in-demand skill-based learning to help them thrive in digital economies.
Yeah, thank you so much for that introduction, Kiko. I think to start off this conversation, we can start by you giving us a better understanding into the work that Angaza Elimu is doing and what you hope to achieve in the education space.
Thank you. So as I mentioned, basically Angaza Elimu has a huge focus on the African youth. So we do see a very big potential in Africa. As you know, by 2035, Africa will be producing the biggest workforce in the rest of the world combined. But there are a couple of the continent itself struggling to educate the youth to be the next impactful leaders for the continent. So for us at Angaza Elimu, we see an opportunity to help the continent to educate the youth. And how we do this is basically looking at the whole journey of learning. So starting from foundation or what we call early-based learning, that's primary and secondary school education, and changing the traditional way of learning and teaching, which dictates that all students are taught at the same speed, using the same resources and in the same manner. And this has failed to produce good results, especially on foundational literacy and numeracy. So we're changing that narrative and we build an adaptive and interactive e-learning platform that personalizes the learning experience for students and amplifies the engagement with teachers. So we diagnosing and we understand that every student is unique and deserves their own learning path. And so we diagnose what exactly they're learning, where they're progressing in, where they're failing in, and really provide and customize a specific learning path for them. Beyond that, really support teachers to understand how their students are progressing so that they can be able to intervene and support either in terms of accelerating those who are doing quite well, those who are falling behind, give them remedials to catch up. And once we've set a very good foundation, then we're able to support these students to be ready for work. And what we've built out is an Internet of Things training school. So basically where we build in hardware talent to solve the challenges that Africa is experiencing. So these are very vocational technical training with a huge focus on hardware. And really the success metric here is to support the youth to be ready for work and really help for meaningful work and what we really say future of work. So in a nutshell, that's what Angaza Elimu is on, lifelong learning.
Yeah, thank you for that. It's so interesting to hear the fact that you guys are building, adaptive and interactive learning experiences for students. It's so important that, again, these young people have this bespoke or customized learning paths because, again, students learn at different rates. And the fact that your platform is trying to achieve that is quite commendable. So I'm sure our listeners would be keen to know what ultimately sparked the idea that became Angaza Elimu. So could you just give us like a brief background into how Angaza Elimu started out and how you got where you are right now?
Great. So Angaza Elimu is founded on a personal story. So I've born and bred in Kenya and gone through the whole public education system. And I think I went to school when it's quite interesting when pre-primary education was being introduced. So I clearly understand the challenges that every learner goes through. And so while still in campus, really it's where the urge to give back to society came through. So I would go back to different public schools, especially where I went to in primary, and see the situation deteriorating. And so basically I was looking at what tech is doing in other sectors. And I kept on asking myself, why is this not really happening in education space? We've seen other sectors really being supported by technology. Why not the education space? And then that was the birth of Angaza Elimu. So basically, we looked into that challenge. What we thought the problem was is access of resources. And this can attest to public institutions or public primary schools where there are a huge number of students, but then the resources available for every student are kind of limited. So we thought is, let's build this website or e-learning platform that provides students with supplementary revision materials. As you know, before the 844 curriculum really was quite exam-based. And so we thought, let's put these revision, quality revision resources for the students really to be able to get ready for their national examinations, because it's KCB is a big determinant of how you progress in life. So that was the intention of Angaza.
So it's quite interesting to hear the fact that Angaza started out almost as a response to another education-focused intervention. And I'm speaking about the Free Primary Education Initiative that you just mentioned that was rolled out in Kenya a couple of years back. And, you know, in as much as this was a well-meaning intervention, it did have the adverse effect that almost overnight, these public institutions almost doubled or tripled in some instances, thereby stretching these institutions beyond their internet capacities, thereby completely or in some way compromising the quality of education that was being offered in public institutions, hence creating the need for this customized or unique or bespoke learning experiences that Angaza set out now deliver. So it just goes to show how different intervention may have a knock-on effect that might be unplanned or unintended. So Angaza recently hosted an IoT, Internet of Things, hackathon at iHub, where you engage with a couple of university students, some in secondary school, to help them build innovative solutions using hardware components. Can you speak about, why that is a path that, Angaza chose to take, in your education-focused interventions?
Great. So the IoT school is really turning to excite a lot of people in the space, especially students who are in higher learning institutions. So these are our universities and TVETs and even out-of-school youth. There's a huge competition. And institutions are graduating a lot of students, but then not all of them are getting jobs. And so everyone is looking for that extra skill and really press them ahead of everyone. And so for us, we've seen a lot of initiatives going towards software engineering. Then very little we see an opportunity on hardware engineering. So that has been also always a big push for us to invest much in that, especially building localized solutions that can actually do project-based learning. And you are right, when you mentioned about institutions not having the correct tools to teach some of these kids. I mean, personally, I'm trained as an electrical and telecommunication engineer, and much of the training was purely theoretical. So some of these things we got to interact them when we had engagement with industries. And so for us, it's where we see an opportunity there, really to bring low cost training hardware devices to every student, and not just about getting to train them. So for the school, basically, is for someone to graduate there. They're able to build an IoT, not just a prototype, but a solution that's actually solving a challenge. And we're looking at accelerating different SDGs. And for this year and the coming years, we're looking on supporting, accelerating towards zero hunger. And so we've been training this number of students across different universities and institutions to culminate their graduation. So that is good for them to come and pick up the challenge and for them to showcase what they can actually build that can actually be taken up there to the industry, especially to support across sustainable food production and management. So that was the biggest motivation for this hackathon. It was our first hackathon, quite a big, good success. And what we're really looking forward is beyond that, how can we support in these brilliant ideas and brilliant solutions that are coming out from the students that we're training to see that these could actually be solutions that our business ventures that are really supporting the growth of.
Yeah, thanks for that. I had the pleasure of actually getting a chance to witness the IoT hackathon firsthand, and it was quite amazing to see these young people engaging with these physical components, building these hardware solutions that have real-world implications in the communities that they live in. So it just shows that there is quite an appetite, especially in the hardware space, in as much as a lot of attention is going to the software engineering side of things. we can now segue into the reason why we're actually having this conversation. And you are one of 12 startups that are taking part in the MasterCard Foundation EdTech Fellowship Program. And I'm just curious, what prompted you to apply and take part in this particular initiative?
Thank you. So when the call out came from the MasterCard Foundation program, so this is an opportunity for us to plug in for a couple of reasons. And the reason why we applied, one is to, we're in a position where we've done a good validation of what we've actually been doing, had good traction, drove more impact. And so the next question was, then what next beyond what we're doing? And so we saw this as an opportunity, as a program that will support us to validate that further, what are we doing? It also really expose us to different networking opportunities for the different partners, and also provide more resources for growth. We currently at the position where we're looking at expanding beyond Kenya. And so looking at what the theme of this program was looking at, we felt that this would be a good opportunity for us to plug in so that we're well positioned, not just for what we're doing locally, but for our expansion strategies across different countries in the East African region. And so really the two partners who are implementing the MasterCard Foundation and IHUB for their rich wealth in supporting startups and especially those who are showing a lot of impact driving in the society. So we're really keen that this would come out clearly on how we can actually tell our story and really show there's more evidence of what we're doing in the education space.
So during your time in the MasterCard Foundation EdTech Fellowship Program, are there any kind of like key learnings that have stuck with you that have impacted your business strategy or your operations as Angaza Elimu?
Right. I think my biggest insight and key learning is, I think, across the key thing about learning science. So initially, over the past 2 years, we've done some work with UNICEF. And so, as you know, they are much on really transforming to learning across the hard to reach regions. And so we've really been figuring out about what does this actually, the research of learning science look like. And so I think we've really benefited a lot by defining more what aspects of learning science can we build on top of our product. I know there's a huge discussion at Labo about frontier technologies like generative AIs, things that we've actually started implementing like last year, and also things like adaptations and personalization. And so for the couple of months that we've been in this program, we've really taken these insights that have been shared and a lot of evidence and research on the science of learning, not just the science of learning, but also the science of teaching, because they also have a huge component of teachers on our product offering. And this has really helped us to revamp our products, especially on how do we build more better resources. I will talk about assessments. How do we better assess students? How do we better provide recommendation to teachers? And also how do we better build better interventions to teachers across their lessons plan, all based on the learning science component. So this has been one of the biggest learning for us, and I know it would go a long way in putting the work we're doing across our expansion.
On programs, at times you'll find that some founders are hesitant about taking part in programs like this one, given the fact that it sometimes they require significant time commitment from the founder, and maybe they would rather just focus their effort in building their business. So to that point, what kind of like advice would you have for founders who are considering maybe taking part in a program such as the one that you're in?
I would say learning never stops or ends. And so for any startup that thinks that they've known it all, I think they are yet to be proved very wrong. And especially with the evolving world of technology. And if I speak much about education, it's a space that no one has actually started to figure it completely. I mean, if we've seen people who've actually changed this space, then we wouldn't see a lot of these programs coming up. And because the need is still there. Exactly. No one is actually moving the needle. And so I would say, and I'd encourage especially the startups in the education space, to take up these programs for them, not just looking at about the funding, but also the resources that come in there for the trainings and the learnings and the connection to the different other programs will go a long way for these programs to actually, one, build evidence-based products, products that will have actually achieve a quick product market fit. And through that, then they'll be able to figure out the business front. Because if and education is kind of different from other sectors where the commodity being traded here is not money. And the commodity being traded here is actually things like content, things like what makes users to come to your product. And if you've not figured that out there, then it's certainly be very hard to figure out the business front. So kind of like putting the, what they say, the cart before the horse. And so that encouragement for startups really take up these programs and continue learning every day.
So we are coming to a close of this conversation. So I just have a couple more questions and then we can bring this whole discussion to a close. Now, looking ahead, what does the future look like for Angaza Elimu? And I'm speaking specifically beyond the MasterCard Foundation program. What's next? What do you see lies ahead for you?
We I think, have very great ambitions, especially the opportunities that we've seen across the region. As I said, we're in a position where we've actually started putting our steps out of the country. What I mean by that is expanding to other countries. So hopefully by next year, early January, happy to say that we'll be expanding in other countries in East Africa, like Uganda and Tanzania. And that's an things that we're really excited about those markets for growth. But then also beyond the business side, so we're looking at how we can actually continue contributing to the ecosystem. And one of the key things that we're really taking seriously and investing much of our resources is how to keep providing evidence to support different ecosystem enablers. And the reason why we're doing this is we feel a lot of people have not been educated about these education space, especially in Africa, and probably they're making the wrong decisions. And we do have a huge potential to actually provide evidence from the data and the insights that we're generating from the beneficiaries. And with this, we can actually help the ecosystem grow. And when the ecosystem grows, then we all grow and we all benefit. So those are the key two things that we're really looking forward to working on for next year.
Super. It's great to hear the fact that you aren't not only just thinking about, what's next for Angaza as an innovation, but again, how can you use your insights that you have gained and honed over the years to help build a better ecosystem, especially for other ecosystem players in the edtech space? And I think that's quite commendable on your end. Yeah, so as we wrap up, where can our listeners learn more about Angaza Elimu and the products that you have on offer?
Absolutely. So it's also great to mentioned some our new product that's actually coming out, especially for the Kenyan CBC curriculum. So we've actually launched a product called Kalamu. And so for every parent, every teacher, for every student who is in the CBC space to check out that product that really supports them in the bit of really the personalization and what we've really talked about. And for those actually so in the higher learning space and are looking to learn a skill, especially the focus on IoT, they could check us. Much of our information is on our website, that is www.angazaelimu.com. But then you could also find us on different social media platforms, as the name is Angaza Elimu. And then we have a very good tip support that can engage you and tell more about what we actually.
And super, that sounds like a good place to bring this conversation to a close. Thank you so much, Kiko, for taking the time to share your insights, your experience with us and our audience. I think we've learned a lot about the work that you guys are doing in making, learning a bit more bespoke for the different students' needs. And I think it's quite commendable that what you're trying to do. And we also hope that you guys are successful in your ventures in scaling up into new markets across Africa as you try and change the experience education, not just here in Kenya, but across the African continent. We hope to host you again soon, that you can just tell us a bit more about how your experience is faring out. But again, this has been a wonderful conversation and can't wait to see the work that you guys do. So that's been it from us at District Connect. I've been your host, William Chisoni, Community Manager at IHUB. Until next time, take care. Goodbye.